Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today, this combined mercy with the welcoming of the new Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi deities, plus today is the appearance day of Lord Balaram, who is present in within the Jagannath deities also, of course. We explained a little earlier before the Abhishek what we were going to do. So we have already done that process of transferring from one set of deities to the other. Now, the deity is being cleaned and dressed, and then a boga offering will be done to them. And whenever that is all done, then we will have the first Maha Arti to the new Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi deities. In the meantime, though, let us say a few words, particularly about Lord Balaram, seeing it is his appearance day. Very sacred day. So I'm going to read a few verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10. Chapter 15, which is the chapter dealing with Lord Balaram's killing Devakasura. And I'll begin by reading verse 5, which is actually spoken by Lord Krishna. Yeah. So Lord Sri Krishna is speaking here, addressing Lord Balaram. Shri Bhagavan Ubacha. Aho Ami Deva Varamarachitam. Padambujante Sumana Palarhanam. Namantubadaya Shikabir Atmanas. Tamo Pahatyay Talujanma Yat Kritam. Please, everyone, listen carefully. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, said, O Balaram, O greatest of lords, just see how these trees are bowing their heads at your lotus feet, which are worshipable by the immortal demigods. The trees are offering you their fruits and flowers to eradicate the dark ignorance that has caused their birth as trees. And verse 7. Nrityantyami shikina idya mudaharinya Kurvanti gopya ivate priyam ikshanena Sutaischako kila gana griham agataya Danya vanokasa iyan hi satam nisarga. O Balaram, O worshipable one, these peacocks are dancing before you out of joy. These doe are pleasing you with affectionate glances, just as the gopis do. And these cuckoos are honoring you with Vedic prayers. All these residents of the forest are most fortunate, and their behavior toward you certainly befits great souls receiving another great soul at home. Let us read another verse, and then we'll say a few words. This is now verse 8. Janyayam adya dharani trina virudas twat padas pisho drumalata karaja bimrishta nadyo draya kagamriga sadaya valokaya gopiyonta reina bujayor apiyat spriha shri. O Balaram, this earth has now become most fortunate because you have touched her grass and bushes with your feet and her trees and creepers with your fingernails, and because you have graced her rivers, mountains, birds and animals with your merciful glances, But above all, you have embraced the young cowherd women between your two arms, a favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Iti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Pascha Dejatarne. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanch Kalpata Rubya Sakripa Sindhubya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. Today's the appearance of Lord Balaram, and so we must glorify him and explain some things about him, because he's most amazing, transcendental personality, most amazing. We've explained today in other places, that, well, that Jiva Goswami, Śrīla Jiva Goswami, one of our great previous acharyas, from around the time of Lord Chaitanya and slightly after that, Śrīla Jiva Goswami made the point, and this is really extremely significant. Please listen carefully, and you'll learn something very important and something very wonderful. Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī says that if we ask Krishna, who is God, Krishna says, me. Which is not pride on his part at all. He's simply telling the truth and being realistic. However, Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī then makes the point that if we ask Lord Balaram, who is God, Lord Balaram says, Krishna, And if you ask Lord Balaram that, well, if Krishna is God, who are you? Then Balaram says, I am Krishna's servant. That's what I am. This is a very important point. I don't know if that child has a mother. It's a very important point because it also goes a lot further than that. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained that all the different forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, other than Krishna, are in the mood of being devotees of Krishna. Even Risingadev, Kurma, Varaha, and so on, all these very important avatars, forms of the Lord, who we've all heard about quite a bit, they're actually in the mood of being devotees. And particularly Lord Balaram is in the mood of being a devotee, even though he is the Supreme Lord. He is the first expansion of Krishna. Krishna expands into so many forms. As he goes into different moods, then along with that mood, he manifests a particular form, like Nrisingadev. He is Krishna. He is not another person. He is Krishna. But in a particular mood, and very focused in that mood. What is that mood? The mood is one of protecting his dear devotees who are being harassed by the demons. So protecting the devotees and devastating the demons. This is the mood of Nrisingadev. And it is more or less his exclusive mood. He doesn't really have other moods so much. Like, we do not hear of Lord Nrisingadev dancing in the Rasa dance. He is not a dancer. He's a killer. He's a destroyer. He's a protector of the devotees and a destroyer, total destroyer of the enemies of the devotees. Even to the point, you must all know that when he killed Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrisingadev, he just smashed him and destroyed him so severely. He ripped open his body and tore out Hiranyakashipu's intestines. You know what an intestine is? You don't know? Don't worry, for the time being. So I think all you adults. He just tore it out and then wrapped it around his neck as a garland. Oh, amazing. How would you like the Maha garland? Anyway, we'll leave that with you to think about. But this is Nrisingadev. He is Krishna, but he's in a specific mood. And then there's Lord Ramachandra, who is Krishna, not someone else. But he's in a specific mood, or, you know, like a collection of moods. He is the ideal king. He is setting the example. He's maintaining absolute integrity to the point that if his wife could be questioned, if some people might have some doubts about his wife, even if there is no real truth to it, but still, just because some people may have some doubts, to maintain absolute integrity, he would renounce his wife. And he did that. I'm sure you're all familiar with that story. So that's Lord Ram. And Krishna is more sort of multifarious in his moods. Yes. As we know, he kills demons like Vishnudev sometimes. And he is completely dedicated to Srimati Radharani and nobody else. Anyway, this is Krishna. Different moods, different forms, different pastimes, different characteristics in terms of different moods. So Lord Balaram, he is Krishna, first expansion, but he's in the mood of being a devotee. And he serves Krishna. He serves Krishna. He expands himself as Krishna's house. Krishna's bed is Balaram. Krishna's throne is Balaram. Krishna's shoes, Balaram. Krishna's clothes, it's incredible if you think about it. When you see, there must be a picture of Krishna here somewhere. Is there? Oh, there. Well, okay. So just behind here. There's Krishna with his golden colored dhoti on. This is normally Krishna's color is gold. I mean, his favorite. And he wears golden dhoti more or less exclusively. That dhoti is Balaram. It's Balaram. It's, you know, it's a little hard to really grasp. But this is Balaram. And why? Because he wants to serve Krishna. In any way he can, he's in the mood of the devotee. So then Krishna's pillow, Krishna's umbrella, even Krishna's fan, Krishna's ornaments. You know, Krishna, you see, decorated with necklaces, earrings, and bangles, and so on and so forth. They're all different forms of Balaram. They're not just some bangles he bought at Papatlal Kara's or somewhere like that at the shop manufactured in Shanghai. No. They're different forms of Balaram. And even, I imagine many of you have seen the famous picture of Krishna, baby Krishna, lying on a banyan leaf. Banyan leaf is floating on water. Have you seen that? And Krishna is sucking his big toe. You saw that? That's a very famous picture. And devotee asked Krishna, "Why are you sucking your big toe?" And Krishna answered, "Because my devotees keep saying that my lotus feet are very sweet. And I wanted to find out. So I'm sucking my toe. And I can confirm," Krishna said, "that it's true. My lotus feet are sweet." And so Krishna floated away on the banyan leaf, continuing to suck his toe, And that banyan leaf is Balaram, is a form of Balaram. And even Balaram extends himself as the kingdom of God is all based on his energy. He expands himself as the material world. It is his energy. It's Krishna's energy. But specifically it is coming from Balaram. And we made the point earlier, Jiva Goswami says that Balaram is so absorbed in finding ways to serve Krishna and carrying out service to Krishna. He is so absorbed in that. Jiva Goswami says, there is practically nothing which is not Balaram. Because he's finding ways to serve Krishna in this capacity, that capacity, in this way, that way. This is Balaram. Very amazing personality. Very amazing personality. Then when Krishna expands and appears, for example, as Lord Ram, then Balaram appears as Lakshman. Lakshman is Balaram. When Krishna appears as Lord Chaitanya, Balaram appears as Lord Nityananda. Yes. And so many other forms of the Lord appear with some family members, and Balaram is there practically every time. And even he is quite fantastic, actually. Srimati Radharani has a younger sister whose name is Ananga Manjari. Radharani's younger sister. She is Balaram. Balaram has assumed a female form to serve Krishna in that way. In that way. Because Balaram, Krishna, when he is with Radharani, the gopis, having those types of conjugal pastimes, no other male can be there. No other male. But Balaram wants to serve Krishna in every way, including that way. So he takes that female form as Ananga Manjari. Isn't it? Amazing. And there's more. There's more. He is Anantashesh, the many-headed serpent who is supporting the material worlds on his heads, simultaneously reciting the glories of the Lord with his thousands of mouths. Anantashesh is Balaram, and he is an expansion of Balaram. And you know, you think you know a few Krishna pastimes? You think you know a few? And we said, okay, tell us all the Krishna pastimes you know. At least give us a list. I know the Govardhan Leela, and he killed Putana, and he did this and he did that. We know some pastimes. I'm sure you all know some pastimes. But Balaram, as Anantashesh, since beginningless time, since not just millions or billions of years, but there was no beginning, he has been reciting different pastimes of Krishna with his thousands of mouths, each mouth reciting a different pastime. And he has never repeated one pastime. How's that? It's extra dimensional. We cannot deal with that, really. It's just too much. But this is Balaram. This is Balaram. He's an amazing, amazing personality. Truly amazing personality. Yeah. So anyway, let's see here. In the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, there's all of Krishna's pastimes, or at least the main pastimes of them, from 5,000 years ago. And you'll see, though, that there are a few pastimes, not a large number, but there are a few, in which Balaram figures as the central character. And Krishna sort of steps back a little bit. He's there, but he steps a little into the background and lets Lord Balaram be the central personality in the particular pastime. Here are some of them, and it may be all of them, but here's at least some of them. The pastime of the killing of Dainakasura. You know about Dainakasura? He was a big donkey. You know how to make a donkey sound? No? Oh, very good. We will not ask someone to demonstrate, because we already told the story in Peter Maritzburg a few hours ago. But anyway, that's one pastime. And indeed, those verses that I read, if you remember, a little while ago, I read, I think it was 3 verses or so. Krishna is glorifying Balaram in different ways. They are from the beginning of that chapter, 15th chapter of the 10th canto. Then Lord Balaram also killed Pralambasura. Pralambasura. While Krishna was in Vrindavan, he killed... actually didn't in every case kill, but in most cases he killed, and in a few cases he corrected some demons and some people who were not really demons, but somehow they became bewildered and they became demoniac temporarily. Like he killed Putana, Shakatasura, Trimavarta, he killed, but he corrected Kaliya, the Kaliya serpent. He didn't kill him. And of course Lord Indra, the Govardhan Leela, the Lord didn't kill Indra, but he corrected him strongly. But then he killed Vyomasura, Agasura, Bakasura. These are demons who he killed. But then he didn't kill, but he corrected. For example, in the Damodar Leela, Malakuvara and Manigriva. They were sons of Kuvera. They're like demigods or sons of a demigod. They're big, powerful people in the universe. But they became terribly bewildered. But they were not killed, they were corrected by Narada Muni and ultimately by Krishna. So there are 21. I've given maybe half of them. There are 21 of these people who were either killed by Krishna or corrected strongly by Krishna. Even Lord Brahma stole Krishna's cowherd boyfriends and calves, and Krishna strongly corrected him. So, 21. Of those 21, 2 Balaram dealt with. 2 out of 21. Dainakasura, Pralambasura. And the rest, the other 19, Krishna killed or corrected, like that. And then Krishna left Vrindavan, Krishna went to Mathura, there's some pastimes there. Then Krishna went to Dwaraka, and while he was in Dwaraka, he also killed some demons, Banasura, and various others. Hare Krishna. Now, all you knowledgeable devotees, all you knowledgeable Ladysmith devotees, let me test you. Are you ready to be tested? Tell me the name of one demon who Balaram killed when he was living in Dwaraka, not while living in Vrindavan. We already said there were only two, Devakasura and Parambasura. But when he was living in Dwaraka, he also killed, you know, a few, not a huge number, but some. So all you knowledgeable Krishna devotees who know all about Krishna, right? Tell me the name of one demon who Balaram killed when he was living in Dwaraka. If I had to tell you, you're all going to say, oh, we knew that, of course we knew that was on the tip of our tongue. How about Dwivida Gorilla? Oh, you heard of Dwivida Gorilla? If you haven't, listen devotees, if you haven't, you better start reading your Srimad Bhagavatam or your Krishna books, because you've got to learn about these things. How about one other, to my knowledge, one other person, not really a demon, but someone who became bewildered, who was killed by Balaram when he was living in Dwaraka, not in Vrindavan. One more. Sorry? Dandavakra. Now that was Krishna. How about Romaharshana Sutta? He killed him. Killed him. Yes. So let me just tell you the different pastimes which Balaram features in. And they're pretty much the only pastimes in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam which Balaram features in. First of all, Denikasura, then Pralambasura, then he participated in the pastime of Krishna killing but punishing severely Rukmini, the brother of Rukmini. Then Lord Balaram, he went to Vrindavan after he left Vrindavan with Krishna. Long time ago, they went to Mathura, then they went to Dwaraka. Lord Balaram went back to Vrindavan. There's a whole chapter in the 10th canto where Lord Balaram visits Vrindavan, visits the gopis, and, you know, on Balaram's appearance day, I don't know how authentic you are as Vaishnavs here in Ladysmith, but are you aware that on Balaram's appearance day, we are meant to offer Balaram Varuni? Are we offering it? Or have we offered it? Or are we going to offer it? Well, I don't know what to say, except Hari Rama. I'm not a member of ISKCON Ladysmith exactly, but it would just be a super excellent idea. And normally on Lord Balaram's appearance day, and I'm sure in Radha Radhanath temple, probably right at this minute, the devotees are drinking copious quantities of Varuni. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because Balaram's appearance day means Varuni, which is a drink. There are different ways you can make it. The South African way, South African Varuni, is you take some, would you believe, Sprite. Really? It's good. Sprite. And you add buttermilk. You add buttermilk. And then you add some honey. And you have South African Varuni. And if it's done nicely, you know, suitable proportions of the different ingredients, I tell you, it's really nice. Just the year before I came to South Africa, I came January 1980, in 79, on Balaram's appearance day in Cato Ridge, the devotees just got inspired. They didn't know how to make a Varuni drink, and they thought that Varuni means honey on its own. So they offered Balaram honey, which is okay because Balaram likes honey, but they offered him like liters and liters and liters, and then they all drank the honey. And I, you know, as I said, I wasn't there, so I didn't see it. But I certainly heard about it. I don't want to give too graphic a description. But some devotees drank like a liter of honey or more, straight. Just straight. Not mixed with anything at all. And, well, they entered into different states, physical and mental, which we will not describe. But let us just say, they decided not to do it again. Anyway, but a Varuni drink, Balaram's appearance day, you must offer Varuni. And ideally there should be Varuni for everyone. And like we said, a good, you know, it's really nice, is Sprite with buttermilk and some, not a lot, but some honey, just to give it a little certain character. So yeah, when Lord Balaram was visiting Vrindavan, he was dancing with the gopis, generally understood to be his group of gopis, not the same gopis who Krishna danced with. As described in chapters, it's about 30 to 35 or so of the 10th canto, but a different group. And if, our acharyas say, if some of Krishna's gopis were there also dancing, they were only there because Balaram invited them, because he wanted to teach them how Krishna likes to be danced with. How to dance. If you're going to dance with Krishna, how to dance so it'll please Krishna. So some of Krishna's gopis may have come just to learn from Balaram, because he's the older brother. And you know, when you have an older brother who's a really nice older brother, I know there are older brothers and older brothers. But if you have an older brother who is really a nice older brother, then he's someone whom you can take shelter of, really, and open your heart to, and explain how you're feeling, and give his input. And if you're having some problem, you can explain, and you'll be compassionate and he'll give advice and help. This is a good older brother. And Balaram is a very good older brother. Very good. So Krishna speaks to Balaram. When Krishna has a problem, he goes and speaks to Balaram. He doesn't, because Balaram understands. If Krishna has a problem, so to speak, he doesn't go and speak to his father. You know, particularly if he has a problem with one of the gopis, if Radharani is giving Krishna some uphill, if she's being a little argumentative or problematic, then Krishna cannot really speak to his father, because Nanda Maharaj is in just a different world of consciousness, parental. And he sees Krishna basically as his little boy. Little boy. So if Krishna has some problem with one of the gopis, needs some advice. What should I say to her? How to calm her down if she's upset? He goes to Balaram. And so Krishna tells Balaram many things. You know, we all need someone we can speak to. We all need someone we can speak to. And someone who can actually help us when we need some help and some comforting, something like that. So when Krishna feels like that, he goes to Balaram. And Krishna tells Balaram about the rasa dancers. That this gopi, she was dancing, and, you know, she just didn't really know how to dance. We're meant to be doing the rasa dance. She was sort of doing the twist. And have you ever heard of the twist? That's really from my childhood. It's like 1962 or 3 or something. Yeah. I was trying to rasa dance with the gopis, and this one girl, she was doing, in my youth there was a famous dance, she was doing the funky chicken. And it just didn't work at all, because we were trying to do the rasa dance. So Balaram then, as the older brother, he instructs the gopis. He helps the gopis to improve their relationships with Krishna if there's ever a little sort of dispute or something that needs to be addressed. This is Balaram, the older brother. So anyway, when he was there in Vrindavan, he was dancing. And one night, you may have heard, they were dancing by the Yamuna, and they were drinking Varuni, and Balaram was drinking lots of Varuni. Oh, lots and lots. And he became as if intoxicated. Don't take this as an excuse for becoming intoxicated, drinking some mainstay or something. Lord Balaram drinks Varuni. We're just following in his footsteps. But anyway, as if intoxicated, and he wanted, with the gopis, with those gopis, to swim in the Yamuna. But the Yamuna was maybe 150 meters away or some little distance away. So Lord Balaram, in that transcendentally intoxicated condition, called out to the Yamuna, "Hey, come closer!" Telling a river to come closer. And Yamuna Devi, Kalindi, She thought, look at this man, he's intoxicated. I'm not going to do what he says. Under the influence of Yoga Maya. This is described in the 10th canto. So she wouldn't come. And Lord Balaram took his plow and he started carving up from the actual bank of the Yamuna, where the ground goes down and meets the water. He started carving with his plow all the way up to where they were to bring the Yamuna closer so the gopis wouldn't have to walk down all that way. And he was going to really carve up the Yamuna completely and break it up into a whole lot of little streams. When Yamuna Devi, Kalindi, understood, wow, this is Baladev. This is the Lord. I made a mistake. So she humbly came and submitted herself to Lord Balaram. That place is still there. That place is still there, and sometimes we visit that place, Ram Ghat. So Lord Balaram, he's very wonderful influence on Krishna. He helps Krishna. Then there's Dravida Gorilla we mentioned, and there's a pastime of Lord Balaram dragging the city Hastinapur towards the Yamuna as if to throw it into the Yamuna, again with his plow. But then they, because the residents there, they became very kind of proud and arrogant, and they wouldn't do what he said. So he said, okay, take this, and started dragging the entire city to throw it into the Yamuna. These are the main pastimes of Lord Balaram, as described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Although certainly there are others. Another very nice one, which is mentioned, in fact, in the 10th canto, it's just briefly mentioned. During Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill, Krishna was looking forward to go lifting the Govardhan Leela. Krishna was looking forward because in the Govardhan Leela, Krishna is able to have direct personal exchanges with all the Vrindavan devotees in all the different rasas simultaneously. Otherwise, in Nandagram, he's with his parents. In the forest, he's with the cowherd boys. At Radhakund, he's with the gopis. Usually it's just in a certain place, one group. And then move to another place, it's another group. But in the Govardhan Leela, Krishna has exchanges with all the Brijvasis at the same time. And they're all just staring at Krishna. 24 hours a day, for 7 days and nights. 24 hours. By seven. Yeah. And they're just so captivated. And normally, when, for example, the gopis are around, like in Nandagram or in one of the town situations, then the parental devotees may be there, but the parental devotees are always on the lookout. Are these gopis looking at Krishna? And is Krishna looking at these gopis? Because they're not meant to. They're not meant to. Yeah. This sort of interaction between young unmarried men and unmarried women was just, it was a big no-no in those times. So, but now, in this Govardhan Leela, the parental devotee is just looking at Krishna and looking nowhere else and at nobody else. And all the cows are just looking at Krishna, and the friends, the cow boys, are just looking at Krishna. And as a result, the gopis were able to just look at Krishna also, without being afraid, will our parents see that we're looking at Krishna? Which, you know, they could get into big trouble. So normally though, the gopis, in their dealings with Krishna, they like to look at him. And even when their parents are there and they're checking, are you looking at Krishna? The gopis have developed what is called the art of the sidelong glance. How to look like you're looking straight ahead. See? Straight ahead. But without someone who's watching you being able to see, you glance. Sidelong, this is a sidelong glance, you see? You see? So they've developed the skill. Oh, they can do sidelong glances so quickly to look at Krishna that even if you're really looking at them to see, are you looking at Krishna? Where are you looking? But the people will not even see that you looked at Krishna. Like, I'll demonstrate. Just watch this. Watch this, okay? I'm going to do a very quick sidelong glance, and I'm sure you won't see it. Okay, so. Did you see that? You didn't see it, did you? You didn't see it. That's just a little joke. But they're good at it. But now they didn't have to do that. They could just look at Krishna. So Krishna was looking around at the different groups of devotees. Sometimes the parental devotees, sometimes his cowherd boyfriends, sometimes the cows, sometimes the gopis, etc. And looking, and then he looked at the gopis. And he saw the beauty of the gopis. Stunning! Stunning! Incredible beauty, it's inconceivable. Would make Miss Ladysmith look like, you know, just the most ordinary girl who nobody would really take so seriously. They're stunningly beautiful. And Krishna, looking around, and he saw the gopis, and he became affected by their beauty. Not just their beauty because they just look good, but their beauty is an expression of their love for him. So suddenly he felt just like this tsunami, tidal wave of their love in the form of their beauty. And Krishna became bewildered, and he started shaking, and the hills started shaking. And everyone started panicking, except Lord Balaram, because he had been watching. And as the older brother, he understood what had just happened. So Lord Balaram gave Krishna and what you might call it, older brotherly look, like, come on now, listen Krishna, just don't you do that, okay? You pull yourself together. So he gave him one of those looks. And Krishna saw Balaram, and he understood, wow, Balaram understood what happened. And Krishna felt embarrassed. So he pulled himself together and held the hill, and everyone calmed down. But only Balaram understood what had happened, because he's the older brother and he's really in tune. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita, there is what is to me a very, very beautiful story. It's just a small part of the overall story. In the second part of Brihat Bhagavatamrita, there is the story of Gopakumar. Gopakumar means young cowherd boy. So this Gopakumar, this young cowherd boy, he was born on Govardhan Hill, and then he went back to Godhead. But he didn't just go zip back to Godhead, he went via a number of places. And finally, after many adventures and happenings, Gopakumar arrived in Goloka Vrindavan. And please listen to this, devotees, it's very nice. And it's also important. Gopakumar arrived in Goloka Vrindavan, but he wasn't sure. Where am I? Am I actually in Goloka Vrindavan? Is it possible? So he went and asked someone. There was a big house over a little ways. And he went and asked some elderly person who was there, whose house is that? And the person said, this is the house of Nanda Maharaj, the father of Sri Nanda Nandan. And Gopakumar understood, I have arrived in Goloka Vrindavan. I'm actually there. And so he asked, well, where is Krishna? And that elderly man pointed into the distance a little way and said, you see that cloud of dust? This is being kicked up by the hooves of the cows. And you'll see, it is coming this way. This is Krishna and Balaram. And the cowherd boys with the cows, they're coming home. They're coming home. They'll be here very soon. So Gopakumar was so excited. I am going to see Krishna. I may actually meet Krishna. Oh, and then he saw from, there were a number of many houses around us, a village situation. All these people came out, adults came out, and servants, people like that, they all came out with different paraphernalia for greeting Krishna with, arti paraphernalia, for offering arti to Krishna. And various other things, different foodstuffs to offer Krishna just as a welcome home snack on the road. And they all came out and they were just in great ecstasy. So there's this whole mood of expectation and happiness that Krishna's coming, and Gopakumar's so caught up in it. So he's standing there, and that cloud of dust comes closer, and then he sees Krishna, and Krishna sees him, and Krishna, seeing Gopakumar, Krishna starts running towards Gopakumar. Gopakumar goes running towards Krishna, and they meet and embrace. What an embrace! And all meanwhile, the cowherd boys are following up. And the family people from the village are coming down, slowly, but they're coming. And there's Krishna and Gopakumar embracing. Suddenly Krishna fainted. out of love for Gopi Kumar. He was asking him, "Where have you been? I've been missing you so much. Don't tell me you were in Ladysmith." He may have been. He may have been sometime. It's quite possible. So, like that, suddenly Krishna fainted, just on the ground, at the feet of Gopi Kumar. And Gopi Kumar is just standing there wondering, you know, what happened? Did I do something? But it's just that Krishna is too overwhelmed with happiness, meeting Gopi Kumar after long, long time separation. And then all the other people arrive, and they see what has happened to Krishna. And they start asking each other, "What happened? What has happened to our Krishna? Is he still living?" And then they saw Gopi Kumar, who they had not seen for a long time. I mean, really a long time. And they didn't know who he was. So someone asked someone else, "Who is he?" And the other person said, "I don't know. I never saw him." And someone else said, "Maybe he is a servant of Kamsa, and he has come to kill our Krishna." And there's Krishna just lying there, you know, apparently lifeless or something like that. And the word went around that, oh, maybe he has killed our Krishna. And they started coming in, moving in on Gopi Kumar, and then they're just on top of Gopi Kumar. And Gopi Kumar, from just the pinnacle, topmost pinnacle of ecstasy, I've arrived in Goloka Vrindavan, and now I've met Krishna in person, topmost ecstasy. Suddenly, he's in the topmost distress. Have I killed Krishna? Are they going to kill me? Wow. Talk about, you know, up and down. But then, Lord Balaram intervened. Balaram is sometimes known as the crown jewel of the intelligent. He's particularly intelligent. So Balaram intervened. He sort of pushed the people aside a little. He took Gopi Kumar by the hand and got him to sit down next to Krishna. Then he put Krishna's head in Gopi Kumar's lap. And he took Gopi Kumar, took his hand, and got Gopi Kumar to stroke the head of Krishna. Until Gopi Kumar got the idea, okay. And he started stroking the head of Krishna. And all the people are just looking. But Balaram's saying, "Keep going." And suddenly Krishna came back to consciousness. And everyone was so happy. Krishna is all right. His life has been saved. Who saved his life? It was him, Gopi Kumar. So now, they were just about to kill him. Now he's the hero. And they just forgot about how they were suspicious maybe he killed Krishna. And so, you know, Gopi Kumar from the top to the bottom, back to the top, just like that. This is life in Krishna consciousness sometimes. Sometimes it can be a little extreme. But then Gopi Kumar was accepted by by all the inhabitants of Goloka Vrindavan. And he became one of them. And he's there now, actually. He's probably waiting for you. And he's probably wondering, when are these devotees from Ladysmith going to come back to Goloka Vrindavan? And you know, he may be thinking, listen, they've got to learn something about Balaram. At least they got to learn which demons Balaram killed. Something. So anyway, this is Balaram. He's very intelligent. And he's very kind. Very kind. Because Balaram is Krishna's first expansion, and because he's Krishna's brother, an older brother, he knows Krishna. He knows Krishna. You know, those of you who've been married to the same person, say for 25 years, 30 years, I imagine you know your spouse and how to push his or her buttons and how they're going to react in this situation or that situation. Am I right? Is it true? Or would you rather not say it? No, not you. Huh? It's true. See, it's your wife here. Anyway, I won't tell her if she's not. So Balaram has been living with Krishna, not just for 20 or 30 years. Or I read the other day a news report, some couple just died together. They had been married 62 years. So, not just living together 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 50 years, you know, which is quite something. But Krishna and Balaram, they have been living together eternally. So Balaram knows Krishna. And he knows what pleases Krishna. And he knows what displeases Krishna. And he's in the mood of a devotee, and he's very compassionate and kind. So therefore Lord Balaram is sometimes known as the original spiritual master, because he knows Krishna and he knows how to please Krishna. What pleases, what displeases. He knows all of that in the finest, most minute detail. So he is the original and ultimate spiritual master. And people who are spiritual masters today, or just spiritual masters in general, they are considered to be representatives of Lord Balaram. Yeah. And we were reading, what were we reading? Somebody, was telling us yesterday about Lord Balaram, Lord Balaram's plow. Krishna has a flute. Balaram has a plow. A plow. You know, it doesn't sound as romantic as a flute. You cannot play sweet, attractive music. But he has a plow. And he has a plow for a very specific and important reason. As the original spiritual master, with his plow, he plows the devotees' hearts. He plows their hearts, which otherwise, after many lifetimes in material existence, they're hard and infertile. So he plows their hearts, and in that soft ground, seen his plowdust. Now, soft ground, so he plants seeds of bhakti, seeds of devotion, seeds of love, seeds of different types of appreciations for Krishna in different ways, and seeds for appreciations, different appreciations of devotees, of other devotees. So this is why Balaram has a plow, to plow up our otherwise, you know, our hearts. They're not really in good condition. You know the famous joke, the really famous joke. Someone was going to have a heart transplant, and there were, I think, three candidates who had just died for taking their hearts. One was some person, like, you know, some guy. Another was some woman. They had been married people. And another one was a bank manager. And the person who needed the heart transplant was asked, which heart would you like? And he said, I'll take the heart of the bank manager because it hasn't been used much. Did you get that? Because bank managers are famous for just not being, you know, very sort of kind. You know what they say? A bank manager is a person who will lend money only to people who do not need it. If you need it, if you've got no money, you're broke, you need some help, he won't lend you money. Because he'll be afraid he won't get the money back. So a bank manager is someone who lends money only to people who don't need it. So our hearts are prone to be like that. Because we've been living in this material world such a long time. And in this material world, love is, there's a lot of talk about love. But there is not really much actual love. There is a lot of lust, which people think is love. There's tons of it. There's loads of it. It's just everywhere. So there's plenty of lust which people think is love. But it is not love at all. It is something quite different. Lust. Because love means that we are simply concerned. Real love means we are actually simply and only concerned. How is our beloved? How can we please our beloved? How can we help our beloved? Only interest. And for ourselves, what am I going to get out of it? It's just not there. Just not a consideration at all. This is love. Whereas lust means, well, the opposite. That I am simply interested in me. And, you know, you look good to me, and I hope I look good to you, and let's get together. But if I meet someone who looks better to me than you, then goodbye. This is how it works. This is really how it works. Yes, this is lust. What's in it for me? And you, how do you figure in the whole situation? Main thing is, what can you give me? What will I get from you? Main thing. And, you know, I've had witnessed certain things like this. How about this? One young couple, engaged to be married. The young boy gets in a car accident and is paralyzed, or partially paralyzed, and he's sort of, you know, dysfunctional now. He's not that cool, groovy, you know, young guy who's got a good job, lots of money. Now he's in bad shape. And what did the fiance do? Goodbye. We've had personal, I mean, we've witnessed it on a few occasions. Yeah. No one wants to know you when you're down and out. Famous song. And it's true. So love and lust. This material world is the place of lust. And love, real love, is something which is fairly, at least say, fairly foreign to us. If not completely, at least fairly foreign. And therefore our hearts are hard. And therefore Lord Balaram comes with his plow to plow your heart, to break up the hardness, to soften it, so some seeds of bhakti, of love and devotion, can be planted in your heart. And this is the job or service of the spiritual master, to help the devotees make progress in devotional service, to help them understand how to progress, what to do, what not to do, in order to progress in spiritual life. This at least is meant to be the service of the spiritual master. And for that matter, of any devotee who's trying to preach Krishna consciousness. So Lord Balaram, because he's the original spiritual master, he has the plow. And devotees, particularly devotees who are serving as spiritual masters, they're considered to be representatives of Lord Balaram. And servants of Balaram, and Balaram helps them. Balaram helps them in their service as spiritual masters. Yeah. So anyway, these are a few things about Lord Balaram. His very special personality. Very special. Very special. And most wonderful personality. Yes, most loving, most kind personality. Who is constantly thinking, how can I get people to serve Krishna? Because he wants to see Krishna pleased as a devotee. How can I get more people to please Krishna, to serve Krishna? So this is Lord Balaram. This is Lord Balaram. Previously, in the, you know, like one of the very recent appearances of the Lord, when the Lord appeared as Ramachandra, he was Lakshman, we said. Lakshman is not the older brother. Lakshman is the younger brother. And Chaitanya Charitamrita briefly explains that when he was Lakshman, he felt very frustrated as the younger brother. This is a bit of a long story, we should probably tell you some other time in some detail. But it's very, very wonderful how Lakshman was there in the forest with Ram. And Ram said, I'm going to chase the deer and catch the deer. Are you with me? Because Sita wanted the deer. And Lakshman said, no, wait a minute. Don't chase that deer. Just leave the deer. If some mystical creature, like a demoniac mystical creature, just leave it. And Ram said, but Sita wants it, so I must go and get it. And Lakshman said, don't do it. Leave it. It's a trap. But Ram said, I must do. And I am the older brother, so I will decide. And you stay and guard Sita. And you know, it's a bit of a long story. But Sita basically forced Lakshman to go. And then Sita got kidnapped. And Ram came back and got all upset with Lakshman. Why did you leave Sita? And Lakshman was thinking, listen, you know, it was your idea to go chase the deer. I said, don't do it. The problem here, Lakshman said, the problem is, I'm the younger brother, so I cannot say anything. You're the older brother. You say, I just have to accept it. And Lakshman thought, I should be the older brother. Next time, I'm going to be the older brother. And there is more. We'll tell you some other time, but I think we're ready now for the arti. Are we actually ready, or are we just sort of ready?
No, we are ready.
We're actually ready. All right. So we'll explain more some other time. But Lakshman thought, next time, I will be the older brother, and then I will tell you. You know, you have all these silly ideas, chase the deer. I told you not to. Let her walk through fire. I said, you don't need to. Banish her to the forest. I said, don't do it. The problem is, I need to be the older brother. So when they appeared as Krishna and Balaram, Lord Balaram was the older brother. And he was, you know, making sure Krishna didn't get into trouble. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.